When you think about the plan of God, when you think about what a blessing it truly is to be called by God, you know, as we continue to make our way with our county, we talked about the importance of freedom a couple weeks ago. We talked about how important it is to be willing to abide in God. We talked about what it is to have unity. And we're going to have a part two of that particular sermon. What is most interesting, brethren, is that as the children of Israel were making their way, and on that very special day, when God introduced to them his Ten Commandments, there's a sense of, with some of the people, this was the greatest day ever. And yet with others, well, it was all right. I mean, after all, God gave us these days. Oh, okay. But with others, they saw it as a means by which to disassociate themselves with God. And only have Moses speak to them. Now, why would you do such a thing? Why would you say, oh, I can't handle God? Was it because you couldn't handle God personally telling you? Or was there something else, brethren? Something else that was going on? Well, God had a lot to say to his people. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. When it came to the giving of God's Ten Commandments, brethren, it was no small thing. Remember, the first tablets were broken. Death came as a result of those who rejected. It was not a small thing. God really wanted his people to understand what these commandments were, how it would work in their lives. But just as important as that, brethren, God wanted his people to understand something. That if you did not embrace his commandments, then there was a possibility of something else happening in your home. We'll discuss that in just a little while. But in Exodus chapter 20, again, God always has his way, brethren, of exposing the false by revealing the true. In verse 2, he says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. How many, brethren? How many already had them? When this was said, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a sacred image. I mean, it already had to have one, two, three. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, God says, hey, you need to understand something here. When it comes to worshiping me, it's me and nobody else. Nobody else. No one else. Nothing else. He said, I'm jealous. When it comes to worship. And I am willing to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many people have already done it? Already done it. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And then he explains once again, brethren, how to do it. At the end of verse 11, he says again, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then the ones we know all too well, brethren. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your brother. What's that? You shall not bear false witness against your brother. Well, that fills in part of our sermon title. Enduring the stripes of a false witness. Enduring the stripes of a false witness. The moment we decide, brethren, to go against God in our homes, the moment we decide we're going to think differently, the moment we decide that, well, here's what God commands me to do, but I think I'm going to do it differently, you have just given birth to a false witness. I'll just explain how it happened in our household. Every household is different. I love my uncles. My uncles are just, they're funny. They play practical jokes on each other. But you know what? My uncles break the law. They break the law. I've watched them as they've concocted things in order to get free merchandise. A quick buck here or there. By going out and dropping a little lie here, a little lie there, and I'm about 9, 10 years old watching my uncles do this stuff, and next thing I know, they're coming in the house with a new radio. I was going, "Hey, where'd you get that radio?" "Oh, friend of mine." "Yeah, but how much did it cost?" "Oh, it cost me nothing." And that's it, don't cost you nothing. Now, out of that, brother, grows what? In our house, I've got uncles I love, but boy, they'll always come over to you. "Todd, do you need anything?" "Like, no, sir." "No, sir. I'll work for mine." Because I didn't want to go to jail. And sadly, some of them did get caught. But growing up in a small town, I mean, we were Berryville, which rhymes with Mayberry. And although they never did any time, when they were caught, they did the next best thing. They embarrassed them by putting their names in the paper. You know, two men caught doing this, doing that. And now, that's a false witness. You're going to break God's law in order to get something for yourself. And there are other false witnesses, brother, that are just as evil. They get so bad, they're willing to go out and harm other people. They will go up and knowingly lie in a court case in order to make someone look bad. And yes, there are some false witnesses, brother, that are so evil. They try to get other people to suffer. Death. God says this. Verse 17. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor your male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." You don't covet it. You'll become a false witness attempting to obtain it. That is evil, and that is wrong. And yet, brother, we see it today. People who make a habit, a life, of going out and stealing other people's belongings. How do you think LifeLock got started? Because I'm so tired of people hacking me and stealing my money. So, a really good hacker gets hired by LifeLock. He says, "Can you help us? I mean, you're a really good hacker too. We know you broke the law, but can you help us stop these people from being hacked?" "Sure. But you know what? It's going to cost them. It's going to cost them." So how many things we have these days, brethren? We're trying to do what's correct. If the world says, "We can do it better," we're going to make you pay for it. We're going to make you pay for it. In the meantime, there's people still out there, what? Coveting our house, coveting our car, coveting our bank accounts. A false witness, brethren, doesn't always like what is honest. They don't always like what is honest, what is decent, what is appropriate. No, many false witnesses, they like things for what they can get. What can I get out of this? What did he say to our mother? Having done research about this type of fruit, I've come to find that you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Come on. It's good for you. Eat it. Give it to your hubby. Watch. Trust me. And on that first day, they didn't die. Second day, didn't die. Third day, didn't die. But Satan had no problem, brother, becoming a false witness. Now, as God was telling the people, and then backing it up with lightnings and thunderings, the people saw this. And again, if we're looking at this, brethren, we're saying what? That's the power of my God. The power of my God sealing this. Paul is saying, oh, that's scary. That's scary. I don't know. How can we trust God? And he's scaring us all the time. I see it's so much better if Moses just talks to us. Why, brethren? Guess what? Moses is just a human being like me. Which means what? Moses gets tired. Moses has to go to sleep. Moses can't go 24/7. But I'm going to put it in such a way to help people think, oh, we're all for Moses. We wish he would talk to us. Nevertheless, though, brother, verse 19, he said to Moses, Moses, you speak with us. We will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Because God's going to kill us. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. And his fear may be before you, that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So Moses drew near to God, the people drew away. The important thing, brethren, God knew why. God knew why. He knew why they drew away from him. He knew within many of those homes that day, brethren, it wasn't individuals who were of good character that were being created. Quite the opposite. They were individuals with false character. He created. Wondering, how can we get around this? How can we maneuver around God on this? Don't think it's going to be any different, brother, when Christ returns.
when Christ returns, people are going to look at you. You go, okay, I don't understand why Andy and Sharon and AJ and you guys, I mean, that's your God, isn't it? I don't know him. How do I know he's going to protect me?
That same mindset, but will still be out there. Yes, even after the children saw the miracles of God at the Red Sea,
they saw them. They're still like, well, yeah, he did that, but...
How do we know? Because, brethren, something else happened. Something else happened. With you and with me, and what we just celebrated. Now, we know, apart from God, we are nothing. Nothing. But we also don't want Satan around continually trying to hamper our growth. And so we are told, when it comes to dealing with Satan,
we're told what? Be steadfast. Be steadfast.
We are told what, brethren?
Resist him. Resist him.
What is told to be steadfast? This is translated from a Greek military term, signifying standing firm without movement, even under an attack from the enemy. From true Christians, we stand fast in faith because we have faith and confidence in the one who is greater than who is in the world. So, with every attack from our adversary,
we're doing what? Asking God to be stronger, stronger,
stronger, strengthening us, build our resolve to be steadfast, knowing all the while
our Heavenly Father loves us,
wants us to be safe. There are going to be severe trials, yes. God is refining and strengthening his children. He's also causing our faith to not waver, but to increase. He wants us to grow and become as he is. So it's important, brother, that as the babes of Christ, that we become more adept at resisting the enemy. So it becomes,
it doesn't matter how often he attacks, it's what happens when he does. When he attacks, here's what we do. Not how often, but it's when. When he does this, right, we've moved into our position.
And we'll watch him flee from us. That's very different, brother, than taking the stance of a false witness. A false witness
lets things come upon him.
They'll allow trials to come on in. They'll allow Satan to beat on them a little while. And they'll begin to reason.
Well, since this is happening to me, should I have some good things happening too? I'll go out and make myself some good things to happen.
So rather than go out and beat on the adversary, brethren, sometimes people can fall backwards and actually be
persuaded by the enemy to go along with the enemy, to even perhaps make some kind of covenant with the enemy.
And that's something we are never, ever to do. Ever. That's not the life we've been called to. That's not the end we've been called to. So we have a different type of strategy. We must not allow Satan to get the better of us, no matter what the consequences may be. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12, let's begin in verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the power in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God, day and night, has been cast down."
Oh, did you not know, brethren, you have false witnesses who are telling lies on you? You do. They've been accusing you day and night before God, saying, "How can you put some like that in your kingdom?
You don't want anybody like that person." Oh yeah, they've been going on and on and on, brother. And God watched and watched and watched this. But then something happened. "For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time."
A false witness, brethren, can know the truth and deny it.
And deny it.
Even when they are confronted and judged by the truth, they can take it, but don't like it.
It's amazing. That's why it's so important, brethren, for those who have been called of God and making our trek towards Pentecost, that we call to mind those words in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not a small thing, brethren, to be a Christian. It will take your life. It will take your life. So, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the evilness, the ugliness, the contrary ways of the devil. That's what we're told. Brethren, arm yourselves daily. Arm yourselves against the wiles of this being. You must put it on. Again, the Bible compares this being to a roaring lion. A roaring lion who is walking about and he does savage things. If he can try to rip your arm off, oh God, I'll rip your arm off. How's that feel? He wants to do damage. He wants to cause hardship. We must arm ourselves. We must put on the whole armor of God. And then we are to resist. We must resist. We must stand up to him and be firm. Our response, brethren, remember, what did Jesus Christ say to his disciples? Do not be afraid. What does that mean? That means someone can come upon you and frighten you initially. Then guess what? You know who they are. You know who they are. So if a group of kids came up and threatened you, unless you got out of your car, then you get out and you look and you say, hey, I know this kid. My sister taught you in school. I remember you were on the basketball team. You used to be a pretty decent kid. What happened to you, son? What happened to you? What are you doing now? And suddenly, you're no longer afraid of them. We're told, resist him. Resist him. He'll run away. He's the one who's going to do the running, not you, not me, brethren. So it should not be a responsive type of panic. It should not be fear and flight, but a firm resistance through the faith of Christ in us. Like facing an angry, charging lion. Hang in there, guys.
As you can see, that was me.
We have a hymn that we sing.
Fight the good fight, brethren.
Which may cause some to think, man, you guys are a bunch of troublemakers. You're always fighting. Fight the good fight. We're always running because we're always being told what? Finish the race. We're always told keep the faith in order to receive the crown of righteousness that God has promised to those who have loved his appearing. You know, part of finishing the race and receiving the crown of righteousness is standing firm and being steadfast. Again, even though we understand, brethren, that God is all-powerful and cares for his children, we cannot afford to relax our guard spiritually. It is vital that we recognize that Satan is relentless and wants to destroy us. The word devil means false accuser.
That's the top definition.
False accuser. Slanderous. Kenneth Wurst, in Word Studies in the Greek New Testament, makes this insightful comment, quote, "It is used in classic Greek with the meanings to accuse, to slander, to defame," that word devil, "and was used not only of those who bring a false charge against one, but also of those who disseminate the truth concerning a man and do so maliciously, insidiously, with hostility." So not only tearing this person's integrity down, you're trying to destroy them. Utterly destroy them. And that's what happened that day when Paul went out to meet the king
and the other Jews were out there with him.
They tried to destroy Paul in his sight, building him up as a madman in this crazy religion. As everything was close to being over,
the king said, "Wow, Paul, you almost convinced me." So said King Agrippa.
And Paul, "Oh, if I could, just gave me maybe 10 more minutes, I bet I could." But he understood who was giving him the help. God was. Again, it is incumbent that we choose early on, brethren, not to become a false witness, but to choose to be a godly individual. When you think about what these beings do, brother, these false witnesses, how they attack, they become, in many ways, like the one who owns them now. They belong to Satan. And whether it was trying to get two of them together to get their stories to fit the night he was taken, trying to get two to fit their stories together when the disciples were taken, these guys are insidious. And they're bent on destruction. Getting somebody mauled. Getting one destroyed. And so, brethren, when it comes to you and me, and trying to finish the job we've been called to, how is Satan going to come with these false witnesses? Let me just throw this out at you.
Has anyone out there ever been falsely accused before? Does anybody know how that feels? It's an unbelievable feeling. Because, especially when you don't know anything about what happened, someone in Mechanicsville years ago got my name
. This is how I found out there was a second Carey in Mechanicsville. They discovered it while I was in Pasadena going to Ambassador College. I'll never forget the call, because had I been thinking, I wouldn't have responded the way I did. I just finished eating lunch and the phone rang. Hello? Is this Todd Carey? Yes, it is. I'm calling on behalf of your sister, Pam? No. Paula? No. This is Patricia. I don't have any Patricia. Oh, now Mr. Carey, come on.
You've known her all your life. She says she knows who you are.
Now let let's come to the point. When are you going to pay up? When am I going to pay up? You co-signed. I co-signed for what? Mr. Carey, we're really through playing around. Now, we are prepared to make your life very hard if you will not come forth and pay what you promised. I said, sir, let me tell you something. By the carnality had arisen. I said, first of all, I have sisters, real sisters. This person is not. And this is the last time I'll be communicating with you, sir. And tell my make-believe sister, well, never, yeah. Tell her to shut up. They called several more times. And then it finally went away. But aren't those the ones you want to laugh on? Ah, oh, you're crazy. No, I don't even have a sister. Come on. She owes money, let her pay it. But they won't let you have fun either. They want your money. They want your money. I couldn't resist the way I wanted to resist. And they were going to attack and make my life miserable. But with that in mind, it is important that we do not become that which God despises. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits by the mouth of two or three witnesses. The matter shall be established. Then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Eternal, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity his life. So what is God saying here? If someone's going to take the false witness approach, he said, he's going to be dealt with. And when he is dealt with, he says, I don't even want you to pity him. I don't want you to pity him. We are told, you shall not bear false witness. In Exodus 23. What would our world be like today, brethren, if nobody lied? If nobody lied. If you walked over to your younger brother and said, hey, did you wear my new socks yesterday? My new ones now. Yes. Do they stink? Yes, they do. That's why I knew somebody wore my socks. Just wanted to verify that. They do officially stink. Mm-hmm. Think about it, brethren. If the world told the truth,
at every moment, any given moment, you would get an honest answer. What if it did that for a week? Could we handle that? Truth telling for a week.
God wanted it to be that way. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. He's saying what? Don't lie. Don't lie. Be honest. Show integrity. Because God didn't take that in any small measure, brethren, in any small measure whatsoever. He had things that would be done to deal with such a thing. Go to Psalm 27. Here's what King David thought of such individuals. Psalm 27, let's start at verse 7. Hear, O Eternal, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servants away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me, nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, who can I count on? If my father or my mother become a false witness, who can I turn to? I can no longer trust them. Then the Lord will take care of me. So teach me your way, O Eternal, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Eternal in the land of the living. So David's saying, these people, when they turn, did he not see it in his own household? Within his own children? You sit down with one son, it's like, okay, what do you know about your brothers and all that they're doing? Oh, it had to be difficult sometimes to hear how many of them had gone to become false witnesses. And certainly to hear about his own son, Absalom. David, you do know Absalom wants to kill you, right? He wants to kill you. So David understood. So even if his mother and father went false witness on him, he said, I serve God. God will not turn false witness on me. He will not do that. He'll take care of me. David had a lot to say about these individuals. Let's go back a few chapters. Let's go see what his son. He has some things to say about them also. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 19. What is most sad about this family is that, at least for a time, Solomon became a false witness. He turned his back on God. He began bringing out things that were lies, things that were false, things that were carved, things that were idols. Initially, he got it. Proverbs 19. Let's begin in verse 3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the eternal. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished.
Yes, that is true.
And he who speaks lies will not escape. That true, too, is true. And that happened. Drop down to verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Verse 9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. So he had some interesting concepts here, brethren, about what would happen to false witnesses. That he himself turned out to be, at least for a time. It looks like he got it together towards the end. It does appear that way. When he walked this earth, brethren, in his human form, he had already given, as God, his thoughts on false witnesses. Again, it did not change. It did not change. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Here Jesus Christ has to explain to his friends why the religious leaders of the day could not understand the parables. Verse 14, of Matthew 15. He said, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to them, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile a man. So Christ spoke of again why it's important not to be a false witness. They will be around, brethren, how long? They're going to be around and around and around and around. People are going to rise up when the beast and the false prophet are here and sing his praises. They will accuse you of seeking to destroy the true Jesus Christ. So they're going to be around, brethren, right up until the time that Jesus Christ returns. It gets so interesting. To the point where these are prophetically getting amped up. They're going to be so lost, so jealous, so angry. That's Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 9, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts, and no one opens. So, Revelation 3, verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, if they're not. They lie. Indeed, I will make them come before and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I'm going to bring them out. They ridiculed you. They said, we're the Jews. You're not. You guys are a bunch of crazy people. But God says, I'm going to show them
how much I loved you. That these false witnesses who are thinking they're doing the work of the Lord aren't doing it at all. And I'm going to show them where my love is preserved. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Nobody is to take your crown. They're going to know who you are, why you sit where you're going to sit, why you are in authority from the first to the last. For some, it's going to take time. Some will not believe it. You're king? You are a king. Yes, I am. As I said, brethren, some will bear false witness just because of that. The very thought of somebody being a king because perhaps you don't like them. It's personal. They're willing to be a false witness for that. The Bible tells us their testimonies, not only will they not agree, their testimonies won't last. They will be dealt with. God is going to prevail. He's going to prevail. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 now. Romans chapter 13. These words, brethren, are going to be said again one day. Some of us will be saying them. If you're the king of a city, I guarantee you, you are going to be saying them to your cities. You'll bring them out, and you'll talk with them. You'll counsel them. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Talk about a city of truth, brethren. Talk about cities of truth. Cities where I guess you could get accurate numbers in those days. How many lies were told in Corinth this year? How many lies were told in Mechanicsville? There was no documentation of any new false witnesses. In fact, the number continues to diminish. People have stopped coveting. And they're hearing the commandments. And they're saying,
We are to love our neighbor. We are learning to love our neighbor as ourselves. Learning to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we continue our movement, brethren, towards the Feast of Pentecost, giving of God's gift of His Holy Spirit. Let us continue to thank our Father who brought us together in His marvelous light. We are to be His true witnesses. A true witness goes out and boldly says, I'm here only because of God's mercy. I'm here because of His justice and peace. When you think about this chapter called the Resurrection chapter and what is preached, and the resurrections that are still in our future, brethren, let's begin in verse 11. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection for the dead? Because they were false witnesses. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But of course, that was not the case. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And all who are made alive will have no semblance whatsoever of what was once known to be a false witness. They will now be found as a true witness. For they were able to endure the traps, the pain, the torture of those false witnesses and endure to the end in purity and integrity, hearing the words of life, the words of God's resurrection, and then taking part in one as God's first fruits. So, brother, let's continue to move forward. Let's continue to honor and praise our loving God for his wondrous plan. It pulls out on us so efficiently, giving us those things that are necessary that we might grow and continue to call him Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. And let's do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When our elder brother returns, brethren, we'll be found so doing.